Hello and welcome to episode 23 of The Cute Life. I'm Finwy.
I'm Ollie. I thought you were going to say something about 23 being your favourite number.
23 is my favourite number. No, it's not my favourite number. 22 is my favourite number. Number 3 is my favourite number. Wait, a combination of 22 and 3 is 23, so perhaps it is my favourite number. Shit. But I don't like the fact that it's odd. Although number 3 is odd.
Not as odd as this podcast. Welcome to Number News with Finlay.
Yeah, I mean, I like to start every episode now with just discussing why I enjoy the number 3 and the number 22.
Well, you can skip 24, but then when you get to 25, that's 22 add 3.
Shit.
It all adds up.
It all adds up.
Like that film, The Number 23, with Jim Carrey.
People are getting deja vu now.
Did we talk about...
Yeah! You made that joke last week.
Oh, God. I think about that film a lot.
I do. We went to see it in the cinema, didn't we?
I think we did, yeah.
I actually really enjoyed that film. Like, I think it was, like, the first film that Jim Carrey was, like, serious in, and I was like, wow, what an actor.
I feel like that's one of those things where, like... I mean, I don't know how old we were, probably, what, 17 or something?
Yeah.
Where you're like, wow, it's such an arty, amazing film. And then if you look back at it now, you'd be like, this is the worst film ever made.
Actually, maybe we should watch that again. Maybe I'll watch it while I'm working.
Well, you might get too into it and then you'll not
be able to. And also I feel like the plot's quite in depth. You know, he's got to work out all those numbers. The number 2, the number 3, the number 23, numbers that add up to 23.
I do remember reading a thing about it and there's a... Literally, you can associate everything with any number because the way, obviously, that you manipulate numbers, you can literally make it add up to anything. So that film could have been the number 22 and they could have just... Because there's a bit in it where they're like, this president was killed on the 23rd and this happened on the 23rd. And
well, of course, yeah, because it's looking for the number 23. It's like when you look for anything, you start seeing it, don't you?
Of course. What else have you been watching? Not that you've been watching that yet, but I know you were, because you were watching The OC... rapidly powering through it. Then you watched Footballers' Wives.
Yeah, I was sad when that ended. I've been watching...
You were the only one.
lots of people enjoyed it. Last week I watched loads of horror films, didn't I? This week I got obsessed with watching Cuckoo with Greg Davies, which was on like BBC Three, like must have been quite a few years ago.
I think
ago
that
now.
Was the programme that they sort of launched BBC Three with.
Really? Is it that old? No.
Maybe not.
BBC Three has been around for ages. Well, it doesn't exist on the television anymore, but yeah, on the internet.
Dead now.
But I really love Greg Davies. He's so funny. Like, he has me like creased up. And then, I don't know, just never got into watching it. And then I kind of just stuck it on because I was like, oh, I don't know what else to watch. And now I'm like super into it. I really like it. It's really funny.
His stand-up special that he did on Netflix, I think it's called Magnificent Beast.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny.
That is so good.
The one where he's like screaming about his mum or something.
Yeah, I mean...
Or his mum a twat or something.
I mean, I think he does that in all of his... A lot of his stand-up is about his mum, but...
I just love what a giant man he is. I just find his stature funny.
But yeah, that's definitely worth... Like, that's one of the funniest of those stand-up things I've seen on Netflix,
Can you imagine? Wasn't he like a maths teacher, a geography teacher or something before he was a comedian? Can you imagine having him as a teacher?
No, he was a drama teacher.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Which makes more sense, but...
He is quite dramatic.
There's a really good interview with him where he's talking about how he made the change from being a teacher into a comedian. And he said he was putting on a school play and he was sitting in the back row spitting blobs of paper. You know, when you put like a little blob of paper and you put it in a straw
like
and then you like...
Thing.
Yeah, and then you...
Pea shooter.
Yeah, he was doing that at the students and he was like, maybe this isn't the right career for me. I was doing it at children. And I was like, that is a good way to be a teacher.
Yeah. I recommend that programme. It's very, very good.
But there's very something funny about being a teacher that seems to translate well into being a comedian. Because Ramesh wrote it, Nathan.
Yeah, Ramesh was as well. What sort of teacher was he? He was a maths teacher.
I think he was a maths teacher, yeah.
I'm sure one of them was. Because why have I got it in my head that someone was a maths teacher? Maths and comedy does not go together in my mind.
No, that's true. But I mean, I guess you... I suppose if you can stand in front of a group of children who are like hate, who don't want to be there and are annoying and difficult, going and standing up in front of like an audience at like an open mic at a pub, you've got more practice than the average person.
Yeah, that's true. You have to talk in front of and hold an audience captive.
Well, like in
an unruly audience.
An unruly audience. No, but like if you think a normal person who does like a normal job where you're just surrounded by like other adults, they generally have to pretend to be polite and like I'm thinking at my work. They like, you know, obviously we all hate each other, but they have to pretend, we have to pretend to like each other. But children don't pretend to like you at school.
No, they definitely don't.
We all saw a lot of horrible things being done to teachers in our time.
Oh God, so many. One of our teachers had like a nervous breakdown because like they threw chewing gum in her hair, and then she just like, actually that happened to two teachers on me. No, one of them, she just like went missing for a week and then turned up in York for some reason.
What?
Yeah.
What teacher was that? What, at the school that I went to?
No.
I was going
to
say.
I can't say names, can I?
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't even remember what her name was.
Well then, have a guess, you're probably wrong.
No, she was a teacher at the Weald, and it wasn't actually...
Call her Mrs. York.
No, I can't remember what her surname was. She looked like lived locally, and she was like I went to school with her daughter, and that's kind of like how I know what happened. But yeah, she like had a nervous breakdown and ended up in
like York. Stephen Fry.
Did he end up in York?
No, I think he actually ended up in New York.
Really?
I think so, maybe.
Wow. What's it about York that attracts like people who are on the fringes of sanity?
I don't know, we'd have to go and interview some York.
Yorkshire peeps.
So, well, York and Yorkshire. Yorkshire. Different.
Yeah. York's in Yorkshire.
Your face was so baffled, like looking around. Like,
I was like literally like searching
but
my
not
mind.
New York.
No.
No, because Stephen Fry, yeah, he went missing.
Yeah, and he, I thought he was just in London and he spent loads of money on credit cards and like, didn't he buy a load of suits from Savile Row and stuff?
Maybe. I might be thinking of Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah, perhaps you are. Easy mistake.
I was listening to a podcast about it, so you know.
Yeah.
You see, this is the problem with podcasts, is...
You think you're talking to your friends?
No.
Okay.
No, the problem with podcasts is that normally you Google things.
Yeah.
You don't say things without, like, the conviction... Like, if you say something and you're not sure, you're like,
oh, I'll just Google it. Well, I can't Google anything, so I use my fucking phone to record this.
And I can't Google things, so it'd be a bit antisocial if there were long pauses while I slowly Google things. Where did Stephen Fry go when he went mental?
Well, we'll have to read that book again, because he wrote a book about it, didn't he? That Wob book or something. What's it called?
Wob book.
Is that what it's called?
I don't think so.
Book of Moob?
Oh, Moab is my dishcloth.
There we go. Yeah.
Is that right?
I don't know. Something
like
that. Something like that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably shit anyway.
It was good. I read it a very long time ago, but I remember it being good. Anyway.
He did a funny thing the other day about saying about doing the audiobooks for Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, the Philosopher's. And he was I think he was being like interviewed on a TV show, and he was saying his like agent rang him up and he was like, there's this children's book about wizards, and he was like, well, it sounds shit, but you know, could do with the money. So he went and like recorded the first one, and he like, so obviously I think J.K. Rowling was like slightly famous then, but obviously nothing like she is now.
Had all of them come out when he started recording them?
No.
Okay.
I think maybe two or three. So they started pretty early, and they obviously thought that... Did it do well straight away, Harry Potter? I feel like it didn't. I felt like it took like a little while.
I think the first one came out to a lukewarm response, or whatever. Reception, that's the word. And then, I don't know, like, when I started reading it, I was like in year...
Finn's still a proper Potter lover.
Yeah, I was like a hardcore... I wasn't. This is... typical me, that I was like, I'm not going to like it just because everyone else likes it. Everyone was saying how good it was, and I was like, I bet it's shit, I'm not going to read it. And then I got given them all for Christmas because, like, my uncle used to work at a bookshop. And, like, I had nothing else to read, so I was like, I'll just see all the fuss.
Oh, just dip into
it. I was literally, like, 9 or something. Imagine 9-year-old me, begrudgingly.
9-year-old you with a glass of wine sitting on the sofa, like, well, I suppose I'll read
this. Yeah, exactly. And then I was...
A little grumpy adult.
I read it out of order. I read 3-1.
Why did you do that?
Well, because I started the third one, I was like, well, I don't care. Like, this one looks like the best.
So blasé about it.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to
What's
like
the third
it anyway.
One called?
Prisoner of Azkaban.
You do like prisons.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what drew
I think it was like the dark... It looked like the darker one, so yeah. I was like, I'll give this one a go. And then I was like, that was quite good. I'll read the second one, just see what that's like. And then before I know it, I was queuing up
Next thing
at
you know.
Midnight at when the last book was released.
That's like next level nerdy.
Yeah, I know. But I think I've already spoken about that on the podcast. Like, stop revealing my secret Harry Potter shame.
But
I'm not that big a fan though, because I'm not interested in like the prequels and shit. I'm just
queue up at midnight once.
I
never queue for anything at midnight.
It was more like my friends were doing it.
Yeah, sure.
My nerdy friends were all doing it. So we were like, what the hell? Might as well queue up as well.
But yeah, it was funny because he said that there was... I can't remember what it was. There was one phrase in it that he just couldn't get right. And he kept messing it up. And he said like he'd been reading...
Oh, Stephen Fry.
Yeah,
okay.
He'd been like reading for hours and hours and he just couldn't... Every time he said it, it just came out wrong. So he rang up J.K. Rowling and he was like, look... I've agreed to do it, like, unabridged, but I just can't do this phrase, so I'm just going to say this instead of what it says in the book. She was like, no, you may not. And he was like, who does she think she is?
Gosh!
And then he was like, a few years later, he was like, ah, oh, she's the richest woman in the world.
I see.
Maybe she was right. But I went and saw the... Not intentionally, but at St. Pancras Station, they've got the... Because that's where he gets the train from.
Yeah,
and they've got the trolley that goes halfway through the wall.
I know.
Well, have you been to see it?
No, I haven't.
Well, I guess you're not a real pothead like me. But it's so funny because... literally, because I get the train to St. Pancras to go to work. Not just to go see Harry Potter every morning. What would you do if you found out that I was like a trust fund kid, didn't have a job, and I just went and hung around by the Harry Potter display every day?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would. And then, yeah, so like, quite often you'll see like loads of people just standing around dressed and they're wearing like the black capes.
And that's kind of cool.
And they've got like the scarves and all that kind of stuff.
In Harry Potter.
But they all queue up.
Harry Potter?
To have their photo taken holding onto the trolley that's going halfway through the wall. So
you're explaining this to me like I don't know what it is. I know exactly what it is. I've seen a billion photos of it.
But it's got a scarf tied to it that you wrap around your neck.
Oh my God, really? I didn't know that.
Well, maybe someone listening hasn't fucking heard this, you idiot.
Everyone knows about it.
All right, done.
Well, carry on. You may as well tell all the fools.
I'm just saying it's the single most unhygienic thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Because every person goes and wraps it around their mouth.
Ugh.
And I was just like, I can't remember, like, I think like my train was cancelled and it was raining, so I was just like wandering around and I was just like standing and you just watch each person go and they all wrap around their like face and I'm just like, that is so gross.
Yuck, imagine all the bacteria on it.
You'd need a... Need a pretty magic spell to get rid of that bacteria, wouldn't I?
That's terrible.
I didn't say it was good. Mm. Alright, anyway. You're not interested in my Harry Potter news.
Oh, it's just the fact that you're explaining it to me like I had no idea what this thing is after I just explained that I queued up for the last book.
Yeah, but if I explain something that I know you already know about, but other people might not know what we're talking about, it's not going to make much sense.
Yeah,
if I'm just like, you know your jumper, and you're like, yeah, and I'm like, isn't that a good blue? It's like that other thing we saw. People are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
All right.
All right, tell me a cute thing then.
Well, you already know my cute thing.
Oh, stop ruining the magic!
Because you sent it to me.
Yeah, but I didn't read it. I just read the headline and looked at the pictures.
Ollie found my cute thing this week. My cute thing was going to be a really, like, quick thing. That I've been, like, listening to Bombay Bicycle Club's new single over and over and over again today, because I love it so much, and I think it's quite cute, the lyrics. So that's
That's not cute enough for a cute bass
podcast.
Well,
I feel like last week's was very in-depth, so I thought, I can be blasé and...
That's the kind of if you're listening, you're wondering what level of dedication gets you to the top of the iTunes chart for podcasts. That's it, guys.
Yeah, no, I just really like that song, so I want to link it in the show notes because it's fucking great.
You are allowed to just, like, you know, how you recommend films and stuff. You can recommend a song.
Yeah, I just did. Okay. I was just going to tie it in with my cute thing, so I didn't have to find a cute thing.
So you didn't have to talk? Okay. All right, well, let's read your long, cute thing then.
This is a Vice article, which I shall link in the show notes, about an 85-year-old woman who teaches injured penguins how to swim.
Cute.
So she lives in she lives in New Zealand.
It was outside for everyone else.
Sylvia Durrant loads 10 penguins into a small trolley. It's 6 a.m. time for swimming lessons. As the penguins wait, she places them one by one into a blue laundry basket and a wire cage, which in turn is placed into a four-wheeler, which she and her friend Anwin will trundle down to Auckland's suburban Campbell's Bay Beach over the stones and to the cold early morning sea. Durrant is an 85-year-old retired nurse who has been caring for sick and injured birds for 35 years. This morning, the penguins wallow through the shadows under the watchful eye of Missy, Durrant's dog, who will herd them back if they stray too far. What a well-trained dog.
It's astonishing. Can you imagine Toba trying to do that?
She'd try and attack them all.
Of course.
Some of the penguins remain in her care permanently, unable to survive in the wild. Her long-term companions, this is my favourite, include Dinky, a penguin brain damaged by seagulls pecking its head after he got stuck in the sand. Dinky has trouble walking and topples over often, but can swim almost like a normal penguin, quote unquote.
Almost like a normal penguin. It's the best sentence. So cute.
What an angel. Dinky. It's like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. I can just imagine him stuck in the sand with a little seagull pecking at his head. Although in the cartoon they don't picture... Show the brain damage afterwards and the rehabilitation. It's just a comedy bit, but yeah.
Dinky's a great name for a penguin.
Oh, great name for a disabled penguin.
Of course.
So cute. I want him. Casey and Bernie are each missing one flipper. Casey's bitten off by a fish. Again, quite comedy. No. Not comedy-like.
Cartoonish.
And Bernie, born without. So he's
not cartoonish. Just sad. Birth defects.
TT, short for temper tantrum, is an aggressive little penguin responsible for bruising that marks the back of Durrant's hands.
Oh my god, we should have called Toba TT.
I know. What a great name. Others in the penguin crew are just with Durrant temporarily. Four of her current charges are in her care because they were born in January instead of October and were too young and not fat enough to be on their own. They will be released into the wild on the far side of Matakoo. Doesn't matter.
Presumably where they live. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Anyway, what a cute hobby.
Durrant usually has 3 to 4 penguins in her care and for rehabilitation and release, and she says the number has skyrocketed to over 30 penguins during the last America's Cup in Auckland, with the yachts and sailboats disrupting the fish who leave the area. Bloody people again.
Bloody people in boats sailing around, thinking they're better than everyone
else. It's just so sad. Like, why can't... There are so many horrible people in the world, and like these divine little angel penguins are being disrupted and would die if this lovely woman wasn't in the world.
To be fair, the people saying this both probably don't really realise the repercussions of what they're doing.
Yeah, they're just fannying around in their super yachts and little wankers.
I don't think those are super yachters.
How do you know?
Because they're racing boats.
Well, they've obviously got a fair few quid.
Yeah.
Fair few quid they could be donating to this lovely old woman to look after the penguins they're massacring.
Does she ask for money?
Yeah, she does at the end of the article. It costs 30 New Zealand dollars per week to feed a penguin.
That's expensive.
One penguin. So she obviously... I think she must raise money. Because, I mean, she's an old lady.
We should do a drawing of a penguin together, sell it and donate the money to her.
That would be lovely.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah. But, okay. I mean... We'll have to see how much we can raise. Might be feeble.
I think we should raise 21 New Zealand dollars.
That'd be cute. And then we can give it to her.
And then we can just feed one penguin for a week.
What would be better is if we worked out how much it would be to feed one for a year and then donate it to her.
Well,
that's a lot.
I don't think we can make that much money from one of our drawings.
That's sad.
Wait, how much is it? How much is it a week?
So 21 US dollars, it works out as.
Okay.
Times 52. That's a lot.
552 dollars.
I don't think anyone... I'd have to do a pretty giant...
It'd have to be a pretty bloody good penguin picture.
Yeah, it'd have to be quite a...
Although people are more generous when it comes to charity.
That's true.
I don't know. Well, why don't we... We could do the drawing. We'll put it on your website and then we'll have it as two available prices. We'll do a drop-down box so they can choose. People can either buy it for $21 or $552. They could choose your own price.
It would be nice to give us some money, though, like to look after them.
Yeah, that'd be really cute.
Anyway, so that was my cute thing.
And you could donate and say it's from the Cute Life podcast.
That would be so cute. And that could be my cute thing next week.
It's better than fucking Bombay Bicycle Club song.
Oh, I was feeling lazy.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. You're allowed to feel lazy.
I've been feeling quite, like, I don't know, disheartened today. I'm just feeling a bit, like, meh about everything.
It's because we're going on holiday.
I think that's it, yeah. We're going on holiday. We're going to Greece next week, everyone, which I'm very excited about because I haven't been on holiday, a hot holiday, for, like, what, 3-4 years?
Something like that.
4 years? I think it must be 4 years.
Definitely a while.
Which is just so exciting. We're going with our friends, which we've never been on a hot holiday with our friends before, and we're going to Greece, and we're going to see our best friends get married, and it's going to be wonderful and lovely, and I'm so excited, but it's making this week drag, because I've got to get all, like, my work done, so I don't really have to, like, worry about stuff to do, and, yeah, I'm just kind of, like, worrying about money, and, all the work I've got to do, and, yeah, it's just being a bit, like, I just feel so frustrated sometimes that I also have like loads of ideas at the moment, and it's like I can't do any of them because I have to make money, and it's like kind of like making money is so counterproductive to, like, it's not conducive with like making good artwork a lot of the time, I think.
No, I suppose, well,
it's just like, oh, I just wish I had the freedom to just like spend all my time doing what I want to do rather than having to do so many commissions to, like, don't get me wrong, I love doing commissions, but sometimes it's like, it's just the money aspect of it that's kind of frustrating sometimes.
But then I think if you had total freedom to do whatever you wanted all the time, I think that would be quite like throwing yourself in the deep end. I think you'd just be like,
oh no, oh, I well. Don't think I like, I sometimes I can't think of anything to paint, and it's lovely being given all these like photos and being given projects because you just don't really, it's good to work to a brief because it kind of like motivates you, and you don't really have to think of ideas, because sometimes trying to think of ideas is kind of exhausting.
Well, I always remember being at art college where you literally were just,
you sat down and you were like, need to think of a good idea, need to think
yeah,
of a
and
good
I just
idea.
Remember just sitting there and just being like, I should really need that.
I've
like,
got
is
no
this
idea.
A good idea? And you're just sort of writing down things. You're like, yeah, that's a good idea. And then you look at it later and you're like,
that's
terrible. Like,
well, I'm kind of like, well, I think I got mine in a big tizzy about I'm trying to think of my Inktober idea, because it's not that far away from October now, which is kind of, like, worrying.
Yeah, it's like a month.
Yeah, month and a bit. Oh, my God. Like, where has this year gone? But, yeah, so I've been trying to think of a good idea for that, and it's, like, what I'd really like to do is do one big drawing with 31 elements of it, so like 31 separate elements, but then all on one page, and then it would just make, yeah, a big, at the end I would like reveal this big artwork and all the little elements would go together to make this one piece of art. But that doesn't make any sense financially, because it would make more sense to do 31 separate drawings and then be able to sell them. But it's just like, I know it would look much, much better if I just did this one piece, and I think it would look really cool.
And it's hard to do.
Get stuck with one big piece of art sitting in my studio doing nothing, like last year's Inktober, which was great fun and I loved it and I'm really happy with it. But it's like sitting in my studio when I could have sold 31 separate drawings, possibly.
It'd be good to
do. Perfect example of why it's frustrating. Trying to make money, having to make money out of art sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be good to do like an exhibition where you got loads of like illustrators and stuff to exhibit their Inktober art.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Inktober is like amazing. Like so many people do it, don't they?
Yeah, and some of them are absolutely amazing. Like I really liked this tattooist one last year, and she just did 31 drawings of cats.
That's nice.
Like cats running or cats curled up. They were just really lovely, like really intricate, like pen and ink. Not pen and ink. I think she used a dip pen.
Mm.
And they were really lovely. Oh, God, I can't remember what her name was. I'll see if I can find some pictures of them. They're really great. And then Eve Mae Adams, her Inktober last year was fucking great, loved it. Where she did space themed.
Oh, that's cool.
They were really lovely. Yeah, some of the things that people come up with are just like fucking amazing and so inspiring. And I really have enjoyed doing it the last 2 years, so I'm determined to do it.
I always I always start doing it and then it ends up running away from me and then I don't finish it.
Yeah.
So I'll try again this year.
No, I'm quite good at, I'm one of those fucking stubborn assholes who if wants to start something.
Well, what I just need to do is when I walk through the door is just sit down and draw.
Yeah, but you're also quite, I think it would be easy for you to do it because your things like are usually on quite a small scale, so I think they don't take you that long.
Well, my ideas are very, very good, so it's hard to come up with 31 of them. I was actually thinking what I might do this year is 31 Harry Potter facts that you already know. I just draw them. And then each day I can show them to you. You can just tell me that you hate me. How's that sound for a plan?
Shut up. I love you.
I'm only joking. Okay, well, this is getting gross now. So I've got some little snippet stories.
Okay. Hit me.
Don't look at the screen. I'm joking. Just always listening back to some of our podcasts.
Oh my God, everyone's going to think that we were out of the honeymoon phase, we hate each other, we're in married life where we can't bear to look at one another.
Well, you can bear to look at my screen, apparently.
Rumours of a divorce.
So, I've gone back to the UK's best newspaper, The Sun. Pro-Brexit, anti-immigrants, anti pretty much everything.
And pro Ollie.
Think anti page 3 now. I think they've changed their attitude.
Well, I mean, that's good, I guess.
Or to the outside. I'm sure if you're in there, like, you know, in the clan of the Sun.
The clan.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Panic Room. That's the title of the article.
Okay.
The 10 most chilling secret rooms people have found in their homes, including one which hid an unknown housemate. Now, I thought this was good because, as I mentioned on the podcast before, there is a secret room behind our bathroom.
That's not everyone.
Well.
There is a secret room. Sorry, there was a secret room in the house in the Lake District, wasn't there?
Yeah.
In the cupboard. You opened a cupboard and there was a door in the cupboard. It was fucking weird.
There's also two secret rooms next to our racist mural downstairs.
Oh yeah, we do have secret rooms.
And there's the one behind the bathroom that Finn doesn't acknowledge. So,
babe, you're welcome to get a sledgehammer and knock through and see.
I'm not going to do that because I was doing some gardening at the weekend and I looked at it and I realised it's just the wall at the edge of the house. It just dips in a bit.
I could have fucking told you that.
Well, why didn't you? Okay. So, dim your lights if you're listening at home.
Yeah.
Turn the volume up. This is not that spooky.
Gather around.
If you're convinced you can hear strange noises in your house, you may want to take a closer look. Chilling images and clips reveal the real-life horror felt by people who discovered secret rooms concealed behind their walls, many of which showed signs of recent occupants.
No.
From bunkers under the floorboards to bedroom peepholes, these tales will send shivers down your
spine. Oh my god, are these like... Is there that one of the person who stuck their phone up through the... You know, I showed you that picture? I think it was on My Favourite Murder on the minisodes. And, they, like, heard scrabbling around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's not on here.
They were renting a house. And
say that story quickly.
Yeah. They started renting a house, and they heard lots of scrabbling around upstairs, like, in the loft. And they thought they had, like, raccoons or something. So they contacted, like, the letting agent, and they were like, we need to get an exterminator because, like, I think we've got squirrels or raccoons or something. And they were like, oh, can you stick a camera? Like, can you... try and take a photo of whatever it is so we know like what exterminator to get in. Fucking stuck their phone up, took a photo, looked at their phone, fucking man in the photo. And it's fucking scary because he's like so like pale and like scary looking, and I don't know what they did. They must have fucking shat themselves. But anyway, it was like a friend of a friend who like wrote into the podcast and like told them about it. And didn't show the photo, and then they were like, are you fucking for real? Like,
yeah,
this is definitely a creepypasta. And they were like, no, it's definitely not. And they wrote back with the photo, which I'm definitely going to have to try and find now because it is just so scary. Can you imagine? You think it's going to be a squirrel and it's a fucking man.
You think it's going to be something cute, a raccoon.
A raccoon.
And maybe a penguin called Dinky.
Oh, and also raccoons are really cute. You know, raccoons on like trail cams and they always look really like cute.
You should tell your story about when you rang me up because there was someone in the attic. So we've got quite, like our attic's quite creepy.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's quite big.
Yeah, it's massive. Like we're hoping that we may be able to put a bedroom up there like in a few years time when we have some money.
Or just throw a sleeping bag up there in its bedroom now. Enjoy.
Well, it's a really nice... It's a good size. It's got quite a low ceiling, but it would make quite, like, a cute, like, sort of log cabin-feel bedroom. Anyway, it's quite big. But, yeah, like, I was in my studio working, and I just heard loads of, like, scrabbling around, and I was like, what the fuck is that? It sounded, honestly, like a squirrel was, like, above me or something.
Well, except when Finn rang me, she said there's a man in the attic. So, you obviously had escalated from a squirrel in your mind by that point.
I don't think I said man. I think I was like, something in the attic.
You said there's someone in the attic.
No, I think I said something.
No, because you freaked me out. Because I was like, fuck.
So I was like, I was like, I'm going to have to check what it is. So I was like, I rang Ollie up while he was at work. And I was like, Ollie, I have to just stay on the phone to you. Because if there's someone in the attic, like, I want you to hear me, like, dying.
Yeah, that'd be nice for me.
Call the ambulance.
And also closure straight away, which would be good.
So anyway, so, like, you have to, like, we don't have a proper, like, pull-down ladder into our loft, like, it's just, like, a crappy, like, metal...
It's just a hole in the ceiling.
Yeah, with a metal ladder. So then I, like, went up, but I was too scared, so I, like, took... Well, no, I started to go up, and then Tova started screaming because she could sense that I was, like, scared, and then I was talking to Ollie, so she was, like, really freaked out. So then I had to pick her up and, like, take her up into the loft with me, and then we were both, like, Tova was crying, I was screaming. Then we got up, and I was, like, whispering to Ollie, like, I can't see anyone. Like, I don't know what's going on. Stop now. And I was, like, me and Tova just sitting there, like, completely still, like, waiting for whatever it was to come out and, like, attack us. I was waiting to, like, scream down the phone, like, to Ollie.
It's a man!
Yeah, and then it was an ABC girl on the roof.
Yeah, like, the... It's so cute.
He was just like wandering around outside the window, like doo doo doo.
So could you see it out the window?
Yeah, I saw it out the window.
It was just a baby seagull.
It was a baby seagull, but because the roof, because our loft is so big, it was like the sound was rattling around.
Actually, it's because we have no insulation in our ceiling.
Yeah.
So when there's a sound, it sounds like, well, it's literally just on the tiles. So
yeah, but it was very scary.
Yeah, no, it is. No, I had a not the same thing, but I was lying in bed when you were away somewhere, and I thought there was a leak in the attic, and I went upstairs and it was just rain.
Yeah.
But it's still
it sounds really loud, doesn't it? The sound reverberates round.
Yeah. It's a problem with these large attics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to get people's sympathy. Okay, so a group of Ohio State University students convinced themselves their house was haunted by a ghost after they found open cupboards and heard noises.
No.
They actually made a YouTube recording of it.
Is there a YouTube, what, they've got a video?
Just of them, like, in the house and they're like, oh yeah, the cupboards are open.
Okay.
The reality was a lot more chilling.
Oh my god, is that...
Although, actually, I argue with that statement by the sudden, because surely a ghost would be more chilling than...
Yeah, a ghost is definitely more chilling than...
After an extensive search, they discovered a room in the basement behind a door they thought led to a maintenance cupboard.
Fuck off.
The room had textbooks, a TV, and the belongings of an unwanted...
Oh my god, is that a picture of it?
Yeah, and there's a photo.
Oh my god, I've got goosebumps. Can you actually fucking imagine?
So, it looks, just to explain it, it's like a mattress on the floor, there's a little flat screen TV, there's a mirror on the wall, the window looks like it's kind of like boarded up. It looks like a sort of normal student room. Here they found a double bed, student textbooks, and photographs, all of which belonged to a housemate they never knew they had, called Jeremy.
Jeremy is the creepiest name.
The housemates quickly changed the locks and left a note for Jeremy informing him that he could no longer live there.
What the fuck? Why had they never seen him? What? That's mental!
Okay, you enjoyed that?
I loved it.
The tale of Jeremy.
This is fantastic.
Unexplained videotapes. This is the next story.
Oh my god.
A Reddit user shared...
See, videotapes are scary anyway, aren't they?
Of course. If you're going to murder someone, you film it on a videotape. You don't put it on your SD drive, do you? A Reddit user shared jaw-dropping images of a small passageway he stumbled upon in his new home. Crawling into the tiny space, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
He found an ominous-looking locked door, which concealed the entrance to a small room containing a briefcase and a safe.
Oh my god, what the fuck? This is the best article ever.
God inside these son. Items were money, watches, and most terrifyingly, a series of videotapes, one of which was called No, 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 No.
I would have shat my tiny pants.
He handed the tapes over to the police in a bid to solve the mystery. No follow-up to that story, though.
Aww.
Annoyingly. I'll do some research this week.
Okay.
And I'll put it on the next podcast if I can find anything more about these. Creepy bedroom peepholes.
Oh, this is very Shallow Grave.
Also, a good name for an album.
Creepy Bedroom Peepholes. That is a good name for an album. Or a band.
Yeah, anything.
Okay, we'll start a husband and wife band. Neither of us can play any instruments or sing, but we're not going to let that stop us because we've got a great name.
Yeah, exactly. I think it would be like sort of electro, maybe. That seems like the easiest music.
I can beatbox.
Please don't do it. Okay, a pair of house hunters were freaked out when they stumbled upon something weird in the basement. The potential buyer was looking around an unoccupied house in America.
Why did you say it like that?
I don't know, I just liked how vague that is in the article. Like, it's so big.
In somewhere in America.
When he went into the cellar and found Joshua's room.
Who the fuck is Joshua?
You thought Jeremy was a creepy name. Joshua's way worse. Joshua. I think it's any name that's like slightly religious.
Is Jeremy religious?
No, but Joshua is.
Or ones that start with J.
No, that's not one. No, because I just feel like someone's
name.
Julie. I think there's something to do with like a religious name. You kind of think they may be a religious fanatic. Anyway. So they found Joshua's peepholes in Joshua's room, which was a little room underneath the stairs. And scrawled on the walls, there were messages including, "No watching Isaiah through the hole."
Isaiah.
And "No writing or drawing on the walls." Bit hypocritical, seeing as he literally had written that on the wall. And another one saying, "Stop watching me."
I literally have goosebumps.
Good. Let's see. Oh, she's freaked. And then...
Wait, are you not going to follow up?
There's no follow up. He took photos and he posted them on Reddit and everyone said, "Isn't that creepy?"
Okay. I'd like a little bit more backstory to these creepy stories.
Finn,
it's like dangling a little carrot in front of
me. Well, it's the Sun. They don't have time to write all the details of the article.
They don't need to back up their stories with facts.
Okay,
It's all about the headlines.
I'm going to do one last one.
Okay.
Ominous notes. That's the headline.
Is this the best one?
I don't know. A couple... It's all...
God, there's another J. Jason.
Oh, shit, yeah, it is. Well, there's all the proof we need. And Jimmy Savile. Sorry to any...
This?
No, but any listeners whose name begin with J, please turn off now. We don't trust you. A couple who had purchased a house in 2005 realised there was more to their new pad than meets the eye. Jason and Kerry... started to do renovations on their new home.
Were you just laughing at the fact that they were called Jason and Kerry?
Such a bad couple. And
you're pissing yourself. Jason and Kerry. Pissing yourself like a little bitch.
Jason, Kerry, gotta do renovations. To their surprise, discovered a secret passageway behind a bookcase.
Oh, that's my dream to find that.
Inside, they found a note saying, "You found it. If you're reading this, then you found the secret room."
What? This would be the best thing ever.
I owned this house for a short while, and it was discovered to have serious mould problem. One that actually made my children very sick, to the point that we had to move out. So I'd advise you to check into this. If you'd like to send me a message, I'd love to hear who eventually got this house. I really like the house and have fond memories of it. I can also tell you more about the mould problem. I can be reached by email, brackets, welcome to the 21st century. Just put 6 Witten Street into the subject line, so I know not to delete the email. Sincerely, George.
2004. Okay. Well, hang on, I'm so confused. So they found a secret...
They found a secret room and inside... So basically...
There was just a note.
Well, I think basically what happened is the mould was so bad in this house that someone basically built a fake wall to cover up the mould.
To try and sell it.
Sold it and then left. But that's weird that they left the note in saying, like, well done, you found out. I'm pretty sure you could sue someone in that respect.
What's this one?
Okay, the unwanted house guest. This is really the last one because I've done a lot of these stories now.
Okay.
Bookcases were often used to conceal hidden rooms, but one anonymous family was not prepared for what they found behind theirs. The secret entrance in the parents' bedroom revealed a spiral staircase leading to a room which had all the signs of someone living there.
Okay, this is so many elements of creepy. Spiral staircase. What the hell is that in the photo? Are those two dolls?
So, the family found a room hidden behind the bookcase. They went down into it.
I mean... That's a brave person, because I don't think I'd go down those stairs, would you?
They went down, and based on the photo, there's like a duvet on the floor with sweet wrappers, two dolls, and what looks like a weird like medieval key.
There's a key!
The owners fled the house, and the police confirmed that it was later boarded up.
What do you mean?
The house, I guess. Maybe the whole house, or maybe just the door?
I'm confused.
I don't know.
Well, those are good.
Basically, I think the moral of this story is, for God's sake, check your house doesn't have secret rooms in.
We have two.
Exactly. Who knows who's
in
there?
But they don't have any creepy. We just found an old whole shower suite in ours.
Yeah, but it hadn't been used.
Yeah, not recently anyway.
I'm in there like having a little scrub. Loving life.
Anyway.
I just think that there's something so interesting, like... That hits such a, like basic instinct of it's, like, your house is your little safe space and the idea that someone else is living in it is so creepy.
Spider-Man of Denver is, like, the scariest story ever.
There's that woman who lived in Japan Things kept moving in our house.
Like that's a bit of an urgent urban legend, but I think maybe it's happened so many times that it's kind of like.
But it seems to happen quite a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Or like that kid who lived in the walls.
I mean,
that's the scariest one. Although apparently that's a creepypasta.
I think it
really happen.
Yeah, sometimes stories are so good.
The one about he lived in the walls and then he, like, he was like scaring these two girls. That one, do you remember? It was on My Favourite Murder. And then he, like, the dad didn't believe. The little girls were like, the house is haunted.
Jeremy lives in the walls.
The walls are talking to us. And he just thought they were like attention seeking, so didn't believe them. And then one day his daughters were like hysterical and refused to go into the house, so he came home and was like, don't be stupid, and like went into the house, and he found like this boy dressed in his dead wife's wedding dress, like in a full face of makeup, and then he tried to like stab him.
That is creepy.
It's not true.
No. If I've learned anything from horror films, if you are a dad, so when I'm a dad, the best thing that you can do is if anything your children say, you just brush it off and ignore them. So if your child's like, dad, there's a trapdoor in the sitting room and a man comes out, you're like, don't be stupid, kid.
Don't be stupid. I don't think that's good parenting, Oliver.
That's what I've been taught by films. And who am I to argue with them?
Anyway,
I think that's the end.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to add? Do you want to do your Kilroy impression?
No, thank you. We can do a separate... I'll do a separate hour podcast where I'm just Kilroy.
So Kilroy...
No one knows who Kilroy is. It's weirdest, deepest cut.
So Kilroy was like a slight... Well, didn't he turn out to be a racist or something? He got cancelled or sexist or both?
He like headed up like a...
SNP? No. What's the racist party?
Well, he did a sort of... UKIP kind of party that was like, he tried to start like a UKIP style party that was like more extreme than UKIP, I think. So basically it turned out to just be like a massive xenophobic racist.
But he like did a like chat show on morning television or something, like I think it was on like One or Channel One.
It was like proper, it was the kind of TV that when you were off school sick and you had to watch TV at home because you were like trying to pass the time, that is what you were.
When you didn't have Sky. Anyway, so
someone... Oh, a little dig against me, not having Sky there. Nothing wrong with that.
But someone's like put a compilation together of all like his intros, and it is so funny. I'm going to link it.
It's a bit, because he was a bit like Jeremy Kyle or someone where he was like,
he had really extreme people on.
Yeah, and it was always like, oh, like, the brother had, like, stolen from the mother and then the sister came on the show and all that kind of thing.
And everyone debated whether it was
right. But he always did every... At the beginning of every episode, he did a little introduction to the show and someone made a montage where they put them all together and it's absolutely amazing. And Finn will make a link to it.
Because it's the funniest thing ever.
So our new favourite thing is to do impressions of it.
Impressions of Kilroy. And I discovered during this podcast that I'm really good at Mickey Mouse impressions, and you discovered that you're really good at doing Kilroy.
So as you can imagine, it's a real laugh living in this house. Jeremy, who lives in the basement, isn't allowed to make impressions.
Oh, don't. Gross. I don't want Jeremy to live in our basement.
Just Jimmy. No, I don't have anything else to share, I don't think. There might be a podcast next week, there might not be. It depends how our Grecian travels are going.
Yeah, so basically, what I was thinking, everyone, and just let me know what you think, is that I was going to record a solo podcast to release next week, because we're off to Greece, so we won't have time to record.
I think you should, because I listened to those solo ones you did, and they're, as I said, they're better than these ones that we do together. So
yeah, but you might just
treat the people to a quality podcast.
No, but you might be biased because you're my husband and you have to like the sound of my voice. Other people,
I don't have to. I would have just told you that I hadn't listened to the podcast.
Okay.
Don't worry, I got the lice out.
Yeah, so I might record. I'll say how I feel. Tomorrow.
I guess it's whether you can think of enough new things to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Because like
in the next 7 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've got to do it. Like, because we're going away on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I've also like got to like I'm gonna reopen my books because I'm very aware that it's Christmas not that far away. Which I'm sorry to say, everyone, I don't like to remind everyone that Christmas is coming up, but.
But get your Christmas playlists going, guys.
Oh God!
If you're at work, start playing Christmas music.
Well, I'm getting quite stressed because yeah, I'm realizing that Christmas is not that far away, and it's when I start getting busy. So yeah, I need to open my books before we go away because I'm like, shit, it's going to be September and that's when I start getting busy. Yeah, anyway, so it's if I can cope with having another thing on my plate this week before we go away on Saturday. But
should be only one thing on your plate, tzatziki.
No, you can't have tzatziki, so you've got yogi in it.
Well, we'll just have to make our own before we go.
I'm just planning to eat lots of chips while we're in Greece.
Oh, yeah. They do the best chips in Greece.
Yeah, exactly.
And the best Retsina.
Oh, so much Retsina. I'm going to drink so much of it. And I'm going to lie on the beach. I'm going to, like, just relax. I'm just going to read loads. I'm really looking forward to, like, doing nothing. I'm going to take a sketchbook with me and I'm just going to do little doodles and draw stuff.
I'm going to do my Inktober drawings and then falsely claim that I did them in October.
Oh my God, like loads of people do that.
Oh, definitely, 100%.
Yeah, no, people openly do that, it's totally fine.
Oh, well, they don't even pretend?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I sometimes do like two in a day and then I, like, if I'm...
that's okay.
Yeah, if I'm in...
You're still doing it in the month of October.
Yeah.
I'm doing mine in September.
No, it's a lot of people do that.
Anyway, this is the end of the podcast. If you have someone who's lived in your walls, or if you found a secret room, please contact us.
If you live with someone called Jeremy,
if you have a flatmate who's called Jeremy, Joseph, Jehiah,
Jason,
Jezebel,
what was it?
Jesus.
What was his wife called?
Jonas.
Philip.
Jacob. Jasper.
Okay, darling.
Any of those names, just be wary, maybe start looking for another flat.
Top
tip.
If you've got anything you want to talk to us about, email thecutelifepodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at finneyelliottportraits or at ollieplace and send us a DM. We love having a chat, we love hearing from you. Rate, review on iTunes, share with your friends, tell people about it, because we like getting new listeners and reaching new people, and that really, really helps us out and we really appreciate it. And is that it?
And that's it.
That's it. And and everything we've talked about will be in the show notes.
Yeah. Also, I didn't ask you how you were doing this week.
All right. I just went straight into it. Oh my God. That's good. How did you do that? You asked me questions.
I asked you questions.
Yeah, that's the key.
I tricked you.
Yeah, you did trick me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So we'll see you next time we see you. I'm going to be so tan. I'm going to be so brown. Ollie will be...
so poor.
Pale, because he doesn't like going in the sun. I bake myself while I'm on holiday, and Ollie just sits in the shade in a taverna. We'll be completely different colours when we come back. but hopefully we'll be nice and relaxed and we'll have lots to tell you about. We'll tell you all about it, don't you worry.
We'll show you all our holiday photos.
All our holiday shots, yeah. Here's some sand. Here's Ollie's foot in some sand, etc.
Finn's a painter, not a photographer.
Anyway, guys. Thanks for listening, as always. And we'll...
see you later.
See you later. Smell you later. Bye.
Bye.